Hey guys, Michael here. David is in Mexico officiating Mike Dooley's wedding this week, and they're having such a blast. They're seeing pyramids. They're doing amazing things. But I have a couple pieces of housekeeping I'd like to get to before today's show. The first thing is, you guys have probably seen, you've probably heard, all the promotion we're doing around the Kick-Ass Life Plan. The reason why we're doing that promotion is because it is an awesome program. For me, one of the hardest things about being an entrepreneur is staying focused and keeping my eyes on the prize. One of the greatest things for me about the Kick-Ass Life Plan is that it sends an email every single day and it lets me know, okay, here's what I got to focus on today. Here's where my mind's got to be. Here are the things that I really have to be conscious of. So I love that. That's something that helps me on a day-to-day basis, makes me focused. It's like when you join this community, when you're part of this Kick-Ass Life Plan, you're surrounded by people that take action. It's a community of people that are really striving to get to that next level. What's really cool is we've got live webinars, we've got productivity expert Larry Stevens, we've got Gary Parks, the mental strength coach, was just on the show the other day. Of course, David Wood, and I might even stop by for a little training or two, maybe in social media. Who knows? The great thing is, no matter where you are in the world, the revolutionary delivery system delivers this kick-ass life plan right to your inbox. So it's really phenomenal. If you haven't signed up yet, at least to get the information, all you have to do is go to thekickasslife.com/theplan. thekickasslife.com/theplan. Next, I want to talk about money. I wanted to let you know that we are listening. We get your voicemails. We get your emails, and frankly, people need more money. If you want to live a kick-ass life, you have to have money to do it. So what we've done is we've decided that money is going to be the first of our custom sections on the website. And what we want to do is we want to give you a free resource guide, which are just really great things you can use in day-to-day life to keep track of your money, things you can focus on, things you can listen to, things you can read that will really keep your money mindset in the right place. And I know I said money mindset, but that was for a reason. As part of this, we're going to give you a free copy of David's money mindset training. So all you have to do for now, and we're going to have a permanent place for this in the future, but just email us at money@thekickasslife.com, money@thekickasslife.com. And what we will do is send you a link. When this custom section of the website is finished, you'll be able to log in and get your free resource guide for living a financial kick-ass life. With that, enjoy the show. As David says, we'll see you on the other side.
Hi, this is Dr. John Gray, author of Men from Mars, Women from Venus, and you're listening to the Kick-Ass Life Show with David Wood.
Kick-ass.
Want to make your life better?
This is the Kick-Ass Life Podcast with David Wood.
Hey, good morning, and welcome to the Ask Dave
and Jen
show. Broadcasting live from
Mexico.
San Miguel. And what a beautiful location we're in. We're sitting actually on a rooftop patio, which is just surrounded in greenery. Typical Mexican. And we will have a little noise coming in from the road. And
church
the bell.
Bells?
Church bell.
Every quarter of hour.
Airplanes. So we'll have a little bit of noise. And well, we start the show with gratitude. So, Jen?
I'm grateful for blue skies and beautiful weather today, because today is the wedding day. We are here for our friend's wedding, Mike Dooley and Marisol. And I am grateful for this opportunity to be here, surrounded by amazing, amazing, beautiful people, creating new friendships. And I'm also grateful this morning I learned Qigong.
Wow.
I had a private lesson this morning and with our beautiful new friend Yasu.
From Japan.
Beautiful way to start the day. So very grateful for everything that's happening while we're here.
I'm grateful for Mike Dooley and his beautiful bride Marisol for this week. We've had such a great week, and like Jen said, met so many astounding people. I'm also grateful for my my ex-wife Pam, who has the boys, and it just allows Jen and I to be able to do our work and complete our mission, and with deep love and understanding, and there's never any issues or problems. So she's amazing, and so I'm actually going to dedicate the show to her, to Pamela Wood Fuoberry. And I'm also grateful for our, you know, our ability to step into cultures and really experience them. Last night, I was at a festival until 5 a.m. this morning, and it's pretty early today still. And it was remarkable. I want to do a whole show on it because it's something I've never seen before. I showed Jen video of it, and it was like, it looked like a war zone.
I'm really glad I didn't go. It looked really dangerous.
But anyway, it was an amazing festival, and there were thousands and thousands of people there at 4 a.m. this morning.
Crazy.
And I mean, it was like, it was deafening. I'm still, my body's still shaking from the vibration of it. So I'm very fortunate I get to step into all these unique experiences around the world. And I'm able to enjoy them and embrace them. So with that being said, this is the Ask Dave show. So,
all right.
And Jen.
Off to our first question then. First question.
Oh, you know what we should do, Jen?
What's that?
Why even think about it? What do you think? Do you think we should play a song?
Absolutely.
You know, because I wonder if, oh, you know what's happened is you put your little machine into my computer and
so
it's disappeared.
No,
I think it'll work. I think, well, let's try it. Let's see what happens. How about that?
Oh.
You know why I chose this? Because of last night. Imagine being out there.
I'm lip syncing right now.
All right, lovely.
All right, so our first question is from our friend Jesse Godin. Jesse says he's got two questions for us. The first one is a fun one. If you could have a conversation with someone from history, obviously you could change history, but who would you want to learn from, and who would it be and why? Second, you talk about the art.
Let's do the first one first.
Okay. First question.
Okay, so history. I was, you know, it's a hard one right off the bat, but let me just. There was a time in history where I was thinking about the Eiffel Tower, and the top of it, the World Fair, when it was built, and at the top of that Eiffel Tower was like Graham Bell, Edison. There were like four of the great minds of the time in that one location. I think that would have been pretty amazing to be there, to be in that location and have that opportunity. But, you know, it's interesting, you know, there's so many markers in history that I think would be amazing. But, you know, there's a part of me that wishes I was in Hitler's life when he was young. And I could actually see if I could reach through all that hatred and find the part of him that is in all of us, that great part, that loving part. And maybe, you know, meeting someone like me when he was young could have helped him not find the path of hatred. So That would have been pretty awesome.
Second question, you talk about art being a passion. What kind of art are you attracted to?
Well, I'm attracted to all art. I have three primary collections right now. I have a bronze collection from Richard MacDonald, who he sculpts all of the Cirque du Soleil performers, and they're just unbelievably stunning.
They're my favorite.
Yeah. I also have a Barbizon collection, which is a collection from the pre-impressionists. They're the teachers of the impressionists, the teachers of, you know, Renoir and Degas and Monet. It's a period of art that, you know, is still collectible for someone like myself who's not a billionaire or anything like that, but, you know, can still afford to buy pieces. It's a little bit heavy for our home, so I'm probably going to switch it out and get something more modern. I do love modern art. I actually, like most of my life, I have this complete range, you know, whether it's Constable or Gainsborough, which is more classic, or whether you go into the, you know, the impressionist or, you know, or into the modern art era. I find a love in all of it. Picasso was really interesting to me, and you know, we do have a Picasso series, which I think is a Dali. I'm sorry, I said Picasso. I love Picasso too, but a Dali series. I found his story of how his art came about. He was really reclusive. He used to find himself in, you know, locked in cupboards and things like that, and he made up his own world. And the Dali Museum in Montmartre in Paris was just unbelievable. I just remember just being in awe of the range of his own thinking and how he created. He's kind of like the Cirque du Soleil of art. You know, how Cirque du Soleil, if you've ever gone to a show, there is so much happening, and it's such a vivid imagination, and Dali's like that. So we have a Dali collection as well, so.
All right, on that note, do you have an artsy song for us?
An artsy song? You know, I wasn't even thinking about songs this morning. I was thinking, I'll play a song.
We're just going to
move right on.
Okay, moving along then. Our next question is actually an anonymous question. And this person is asking, when going into a situation like I'm currently in, I find myself thinking about all the consequences of what's about to happen. It's all what I'm going to do if this happens, that and the other happens. All the negative ideas are battling around in my head. What's your advice about staying positive? And what would the voice in your head be saying if you were going into the unknown like I'm about to do?
Well, you know, I think it's for everyone. It's the same thing. The unknown for most people is always going to be a challenge for most people, because our brain is conditioned to think certain thoughts. And, you know, there is no magic pill for the unknown. But, you know, what we have to do is we have to have those feelings. We have to be able to drown them out, and we have to be able to take a step forward. But, you know, what typically will happen is a lot of people don't succeed because the thoughts win. And as the thoughts win, our energy shifts. And as our energy shifts, you know, we don't show up in the same way, so we don't attract the same possibility. So it really is, it's a very, very important process, is to manage your own thinking. But I would say primarily it's environment. It's getting a group of people around you that believe in what's going on. You need a cheerleader as well. And, you know, allowing yourself to not be denied. But also, a lot of people in business, they'll keep going with something when it's not working. And so we always have to understand that. So there's one thing is to keep ourselves, get started, but it's also to monitor our success, you know. So, and whether we're the right person for the right thing. So, you know, get the right team doing it. Harness, you know, one or two of the right people, you know, get the right help. And again, a lot of entrepreneurs start out and they start doing everything themselves, and they start reinventing their own wheel, and they start making a lot of the same mistakes as everyone's made before, as opposed to going to a specialist in an arena. And is this anonymous one?
Yes.
Okay, so this is right, you said, right? So I kind of know who this is from. And so my advice to you, anonymous person, who I know you are, is to really, I would say, is to find somebody who's a specialist in that arena. And they will be able to see and help. And that alone, having somebody who's seen it before, their confidence and their understanding of what you have in your hand will be remarkable. Or they're going to say, well, you know, buddy, I've been here 1,000 times. This is a little bit hard to do, blah, blah, blah. And then you're going to be taking that right counsel, I think, is really important. But I think for anyone listening, managing negative thinking is incredibly hard. And, you know, there are practices, but environment is always key. And also remember that for, you know, 15, 20, 30 years of conditioning, we become patterns of those consistent thoughts. So to drown them out, you know, it is about meditation. It is about daily gratitudes. It is about journaling. It is about, you know, the environment, who we choose to spend our time with, about, you know, living a healthy life and exercise. You know, all those things play a role. But, you know, we just can't get trapped in old thinking habits, right? So
those old habits, they die hard.
What's that? Yeah. Do you think that the anonymous, we should tell them why the anonymous? Oh, you know what I should do? Well, what I'm saying is that why the anonymous? Why he said anonymous is because he didn't want people who he's currently working with to maybe see what he's doing, because he has a dream. And so he's in a J-O-B, a job. But he has this dream, and that's what I really admire about it, is that often we get stuck in a job, but he's not. He's saying, I have this job.
He has the courage.
He has the courage to take that step. So I want to commend you, and I want to play this song to you. I'm going to use a little Phil Collins this morning, and unless there's a request, but this is a great one.
Just a memory of you.
That was really, I love the title of that for you, is Against All Odds, you know, because sometimes it is against all odds. You know, we just have to really understand that we can do whatever we believe. And Mike Dooley's the master of that. You know, thoughts become things. And so negative thoughts become something. And so I really want you to think about that.
Whether your thoughts are negative or positive, they become things.
Well, and
they manifest.
And Jen, you know, you've been struggling, you know, you struggle with thinking, right? And so, you know, how did you manage, one of the ways you've managed to really go from somebody who got stuck in a negative spiral to someone who rarely does?
Awareness. That's the first step. It was recognizing that I was having negative thoughts and beating myself up and had habitual thoughts in my mind that I had picked up from my experiences. So that hearing that over and over and over again that I wasn't good enough, you know, being an elite gymnast, that's what we were constantly, the message was constantly given to us, we weren't good enough. So as I grew up and became a young adult, I believed it. And that was the voice in my head all the time. I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough. But it wasn't until the day that I recognized that voice that I was able to practice changing the voice and having a different mantra in my head and different thoughts and thoughts that supported me rather than broke me down. And it's a practice. It took me a long time to really switch that because it is a habit and habits are hard to break. So I think the first step again is just becoming aware of those habitual thoughts in my mind and being aware that I need to change them because they're not supporting me.
That's so good. And you know, when you watch someone do that, when you see someone who can really turn it around and not take in years, it's remarkable. It's remarkable to see someone. And then, I mean, going from really someone who was often caught in the spiral of negativity to then teaching happiness the way you do.
And, but that's why it's practicing happiness, because I'm not always super duper happy. I have my moments.
I can tell you she does.
And
oh
it is
God.
A practice. And it's, you know, it doesn't... Practicing happiness in my whole philosophy of happitude and having a happy attitude isn't about being a clown and being jovial every minute of every single day. It's about practicing and noticing when I am spiraling out of control and not having a happy moment. And what can I practice to bring my happiness levels higher and up?
That's awesome.
Yeah. Are we ready for the next?
We are.
Portion? Oh. We're not. Okay,
moving on
to the next question.
No, go on. Well, you have to understand, ladies and gentlemen, we'll tell you this. Don't worry about it. You can talk out loud. There's no worry. It's because we're in a situation where we don't have the right computers or anything. So this is really rough. So I'm trying to play songs here at the same time. So just tell you. It's good.
Okay.
So
well, we have a song request, honey.
From who?
From Heidi Fernandez.
What's the song?
The song is Counting Stars by One Republic.
Okay.
And then Heidi says, I love the show. And she's asking for this song because she loves the words. And she says, I own a few businesses and love how the program helps me. Sharing takes love all the time. Thanks, y'all, says Heidi. And Heidi wrote a beautiful review for us.
Oh, what was her?
So we just want to say thank you to Happy Beach Blonde.
Hey, all right. Happy Beach Blonde. Here you go. Just for you.
Shall find old, but I'm not that old. Young, but I'm not that bold. And I don't think the world is sold. I'm just doing what we're told.
Thanks, Heidi.
I love that song. I've never heard it before. It gives me goosebumps.
Oh, really? You've never heard it?
No.
You mean the old man heard a song you haven't heard?
Yes.
Oh, wow. That's rare. Yeah. I have rangy taste, but I don't know who people are. So, all right.
So, our next question is from Michael Mataluni, and he starts with a quote. Life isn't about finding yourself. It's about creating yourself. Most people are in fields and jobs that don't like or they're not passionate about. And this takes people's energies away from discovering why they were born. How do people create the energy to peel away the layers of negativity and doubt that keeps them from identifying and following through on their dreams and purpose? And there's also a request here. Do you want to answer the question first?
Let me answer the question first because it's, The thing about it is, again, this is, and you see how often this theme comes up. And what I love about this theme is that it's the theme that, you know, that most people are going to face in their lifetime as they start to grow, right? Because it's one of those themes that you know, the layers of negativity. But, you know, the first part of change is awareness. And like Jen said, she became aware of the negativity around her. And because of that, she was able to do something about it. And the fact that you're even talking about it allows me to understand that you already are aware that there's layers of negativity. But the fact is this, what are you going to focus on? You're going to focus on the negative part? Because, I mean, quite often, it's as simple as focusing on something else. So, you know, it's not a question that negativity ever goes away. It still can live inside of you. But if you can bring enough positivity, it's going to drown out the negativity. It's like having two voices in your head. One saying, no, 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 you can't, you can't, you can't, you can't, you're a loser, you're fat, whatever. The other one saying, you're amazing, I love you, you can do anything, you're awesome. Those two things exist. And you're going to amplify one of them with your focus. And there's a great saying, you know, what I focus on expands. What I focus on expands. What I focus on expands. So focus on positive, great things, even in negative environments. And again, and we've talked about that with people who are in the Holocaust, you know, in the same situation where people, millions of people are dying around them. And yet there's stories of enlightenment and power and positivity and absolutely certainty that they were going to get through it. And they did, you know, and they inspired people around them to find hope, you know. So again, even in the darkest of corners of humanity, there's the possibility to find and have that that place in your heart. So again, it's not a question of necessarily stripping it away. I'd say focus on yourself. Invest in yourself. So get to some programs. A lot of it's around forgiveness. A lot of it is around self-love. Self-worth is the number one thing I deal with on a daily basis. And you know, when you're in an environment where there's a lot of self-love, you know, it's much easier to do it. If you stay stuck in a negative environment, it's virtually impossible. You'll have moments and then you're going to get dragged and sucked back into this crazy pot of negativity where everyone's got these wounded hearts and they're all looking for happiness. But because they're not all doing it at the same time, what they do is when other people are around them, they'll drag them back in the pot. But I guarantee, I would say that 99.999% of people, if they were shown a way to true happiness, will take it, right, over negativity. What do you think?
Well, yeah, and having a sense of purpose is one of the key steps to happiness. And so if you are in a job that's sucking the life out of you and you're not loving, you don't feel like you have a purpose, then, you know, I think that's a time to really start looking inside yourself and deciding, well, what would make you happy? And if you can't leave that job, what can you do in that job that would give you purpose? Reminds me of Oprah Winfrey, and who is the woman who used to pop zits?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Talk about?
Yeah, well, I did that. I did a show with Oprah just recently.
You did that whole
show,
and you talked about that. And so it's the same thing. You know, sometimes we can't leave the job that we're in, but you can find ways within your job or within your situation to love it. We see that a lot while we're traveling. We see people who are, in situations that they can't get out of, but they're finding ways to enjoy it and find purpose in it, and that's where you can find the happiness.
But you go to the third world as well. I mean, you go into places, I mean, even here, you know, you watch families together, like last night, you know, watching Marisol's family together, and, you know, it doesn't matter. Wealth has got nothing to do with happiness, but happiness will create a lot of wealth if you have happiness and you're a great magnet for people and you're, you know, you live in your body and you're present with people. Shit happens, and it happens fast. You know, I mean, I can't tell you how many people have been able to go and design their life very, very quickly, but it does come from that happiness. But again, what's coming first, the money or the happiness? Well, it's got to be the happiness. And the reason, you know, I was talking to Yasu, the guy that Jen just had her Qigong lesson with, and he was saying, you know, that in Japan, it's the highest incidence of people living over 100. And partly he said diet, but we talked a lot about the social aspect of their culture, is they get together a lot socially. And that social thing about bringing people together and having friends around you is an awesome feeling. But friends take work in the beginning, and someone's got to go first. And you've made some new friends this week. Mm. You know are going to be in your life forever, right?
Absolutely.
You know, someone said something to me last night. You didn't hear this, but someone said, it was Pat. He says, how come you and Jen don't stand together a lot, or, you know, you ride in different cars? I said, Jen's here to meet new people. I said, we always come home together, and we can see each other across the room. But, you know, I said, if she sat by my side this whole week, because I was the one that was primarily invited, you know, with Mike's relationship. I said, but now, Jen, you've connected with everyone. You have these great things, but it's an intimate thing with you and them now, as opposed to us, you know, which a lot of couples do. It's like you have to like both people, whereas, you know, I can tell by, you know, when you're meeting some of these people, it's like, wow, Jen, you know, and it's like they have a relationship with you, not me, which is awesome, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think I was thinking about that, too, even on one of the very first days here. we were getting onto the bus coming from Mexico City to come up to here, and I got on the bus before you and right away had this expectation that I would sit with somebody new and didn't even get on the bus and save you a seat and wait for you to get on and go, honey, sit here.
Yeah, I walked by you and you're already in a big, deep conversation. I don't think you'd even notice me getting on the bus.
I don't think I did. And I was thinking about that later and realizing that probably comes from your programs because that's what you teach. It's about connecting with other people. And now I feel like I look back on that and go, wow, I'm doing it so easily now. I don't even think about it. Whereas before when I used to be the shy introvert, I would be really dependent on my partner and be like, make sure you sit with me. Can we sit together on the bus? And I didn't meet as many people. So it's funny how it's become second nature and I didn't even notice.
I'm so proud of you. But the fact people notice, I mean, the fact that other people are noticing and asking that question, how come you're so happy and yet you don't spend all that time together? You know, and I said, well, we do. But I said, even when we fly sometimes, you're in a different part of the plane, right? Because you're in a connecting business. But did he have a song?
Yes. So this song Michael has requested because he wants to have a shout out to those who are searching for their purpose in life. Don't find it, create it. Yeah. Unleash. Fire away, honey.
Unleash it. Oh,
Bob Dylan.
Oh, okay.
I thought you were all set up.
I was waiting for you to really.
And don't speak
this
too
is
soon,
Bob Dylan. Times they are changing.
Yeah, I've been up all night. Remember.
That it's naming.
We're going to have another long show. I can feel it.
Yes. 1, 2, 3.
Okay.
We still have 3 questions.
Okay,
do we have time, honey?
Well, we'll see. We'll see how we go. So, you're up.
Sorry, I'm finding a question.
Did you lose your space? You should see our setup. We should take a photograph. It's crazy. This is like broadcasting to the world with a shoestring, a plastic bottle, and yeah. Okay. Are you ready now?
You might have to help me with this one.
Because
I haven't read Napoleon Hill.
Oh, okay.
So this is from James Bitter. I've been working Napoleon Hill's definiteness? Definiteness? Is that a word? Of purpose. And less commonly known, assertive prayer instead of begging God for things I do believe he will give me. I'm struggling making it a constant mindset, and I want to know some of your basic meditation techniques. I want to live my life with the clarity and purpose that you exude, and you mentioned meditation is the gateway to that. Thank you again for everything you do. Keep talking, and I'll keep listening.
Was there a song request on that one?
Nope.
I have nothing set up for him. Okay, so, meditation is something. What I realize is this. I'm getting clearer and clearer that my meditation, I talk about this early morning one, which I had to do this morning, right? But it's also this this meditation that is a daily practice. Morning, Pat. We just talked about you on the show. We're recording the show right now. We just talked about you a second ago. All right. So what I realize is that I think the meditation that I'm more aware of this week is the meditation of connection. As opposed to being quiet, it's being completely in my body as I'm around everyone, because if one person makes a difference, one person walking into any situation, you watch people open up, and I feel that there's the personal meditation, but I think there's another meditation that I find is completely unique. I've never heard it spoken about, which is this thing when I'm around people, is this like feeling and seeing and sensing everything. It's knowing. It's almost like you get a 360 view around you. You get so connected to the moment.
So it's mindfulness.
It's mindfulness, yeah. But you have other techniques that you teach. Do you want to talk about those?
Well, the techniques that I teach are around mindfulness. But again, it's all that. I mean, mindfulness is another word for awareness. And it is that. I agree with you. It's more being connected and aware. Meditation doesn't have to be sitting on a meditation cushion with your ankles wrapped around your hips and, you know,
unless you like that kind of thing.
It can be, absolutely. That is a beautiful practice. But there's other ways to meditate that can be integrated into your everyday life. I had a woman once tell me that she meditates at every red light while she's driving through traffic. So she's got, how long is a red light? 90 seconds maybe or whatever?
Depends on the light, but yeah.
And so she takes that as a cue to pause and to be fully present, she takes a deep breath, a deep inhale, a deep exhale, and practices emptying her mind and clearing all the thoughts in that moment. And it might be 90 seconds, it might be 2 minutes or whatever it is, but that's a meditation practice, and that's something that can be integrated into everyday life. So meditation comes in a lot of different forms, and mindfulness is awareness. So the more we can be connecting to ourselves, the more we'll connect to those around us.
That's awesome. That's very, very good. God, you're brilliant.
I learned from a brilliant man.
If you were any sexier, we'd have to turn the show off.
Okie dokie. Next question, honey, then?
Yeah.
Okay. This is from Yale.
Oh, lovely Yale. 16.
Yes, beautiful.
Only 16.
Yale. She says, hi, David and Jen. Thank you again for answering my first question a few episodes back. It was awesome. Hee hee hee, little smiley face. Here's my question. How do you maintain your own equilibrium with people who have strong, different beliefs than you and still be open to their ideas and understanding of them while also enjoying each other's company? Also, I have a song request. And it's... Are you ready?
Well, let's do this.
You want to answer the question
first? Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
See if you can... Can you?
I love Yale's questions. She always has such beautiful...
16-year-old. Amazing... insights. But you know, you can see the consistency of these types of questions. But I'm going to give you a little tip here, Yale. Be fascinated by them. Be fascinated by their, even if it's an opposing view. Because what I find is most of the struggle happens in the world when we feel we're right. And so we're clinging on to, and I don't get that from your question that you feel you're right at all. So I can be around someone that has polar opposite views to me. And one of the things I think what really allows me to be most happy is I don't have strong fixed views on anything. Because I realize that there are so many different ways of seeing life and there's so many different ways of seeing and being in the world that... that doesn't allow me the only thing I could do if I have a strong view on it is to create separation. And we could talk about religion that way. You know, how many different ways are there to practice faith? How many different ways? Imagine. And every single one of them in my world is right. They're all right. Why would they be wrong? Why would one be wrong and one be right? You know, and I find the people who are often the unhappiest are the people that have such rigid views in any one area of their life, whether it's politics or whether it's religion or whatever it is. It's like, this is the way. So what happens is every single time they step out into the world, they see the world in such a rigid format that that everything else seems wrong. Everything else seems like everyone else is doing it the wrong way. So imagine walking out the door and seeing fault in every other person that is not saying and doing the same things as you are doing. So what I find is that my wonder is to dig into the what's opposite, dig into their opposite belief, dig into what's different. However, even we can consider something to be negative only if we allow it to be negative in our body. But just because someone's got a point of view or they seem negative, that person still lights up. When you can connect with them, what's most important to them, when you can get them talking about things they're passionate about, and most importantly, when you can find things you have in common. So you may not have religion in common, you may not have, you know, politics in common, but guess what? Let's say that you have children in common. So that one negative person who's negative about all these other things, but when they light up when you talk to them about, you know, their children or children in general, or maybe for them it's books, you know. So find that magic conversation that lights people up. And understand that people aren't all 100% negative. They appear negative. You know, but everyone has a seed of gold in them. And if we can find what that seed of gold is and communicate about that, even when it's in opposition to our own thoughts. And I love that. I love sitting with someone who has these crazy, wacky... Look at this week. There's some people here who have some really, really...
Eccentric
thought patterns. Yeah, but, you know, you got to sit in it. And, you know, there's people, you know, who are healers, and there's people who are spiritual leaders. And right. So, you know, they all have their own interpretation on how that should look and feel. You know, and imagine if you were a little bit like everyone's woo-woo, and you can't be around that type of person. Suddenly, you know, you're here in the most gorgeous week of our life, let's say, and all we're seeing is like, well, look how wacky she is, as opposed to, wow, that's beautiful. Her expression of her belief system in her own way is so, and because there's no resistance, suddenly she's so open to allowing us into the world. Once we're in there, you can connect on so many other areas. But I think and Tony Robbins and I were on stage together one time, and he was demonstrating this with me, right? So he was asking me to pull. So I'm pulling his arm and he's pulling his arm, and he said, that's most people's relationship. You know, a tug of war, you know, no, think of my way. You know, do it my way. No, you're wrong, I'm right. He says, and watch what happens when I step in. And so he stepped into me, and I'm pulling his arm as hard as I can. He stepped in, I almost fell over, and suddenly I was so, instead of going against me, he was going with me, and suddenly he spanned me around like a little ballerina on stage. And he's a big guy, right? But I think that's what the juice is. The juice is everyone is beautiful. Every human being has a story. Every single person has a heart. And even when they're really dark people, I haven't met one yet that I can't crack. And you've seen that, right?
Well, yeah, and it just makes me think of when I was doing some work with Beth Henischewski, who's been on our show, who's our really good friend. And I was talking to her about how I can be around people who I found had a really strong negative energy. And she told me, taught me about a visualization that you can do as well, and envisioning a bubble around yourself that will protect you from the negative energy of this person. So you can still sit with them and be with them and have a conversation, but you're shielded by this imagery of this beautiful bubble that contains your energy and keeps their energy away from penetrating you. And I really found that visualization can really help. So you can still sit and be with somebody and have a conversation and not feel infected.
And as you grow stronger, their negativity can pass through you. You don't need the bubble. Correct. But I think in the beginning, having a bubble, but you know, otherwise it dissipates. The negativity hits you and it dissipates like sugar dissolving in tea, right? So what's her song?
Okay, so Yael would like to dedicate this song to her sister Rochelle. And she says, here's a little something to put a spark in your day and remind you that you're doing amazing on your journey. Here's Phil Collins on My Way. Good old Phil Collins.
Yeah.
All right, our last question.
Wow, that was fast.
From Ellie Johnson. David, you've said in an earlier episode that a vast percentage of new businesses fail within a certain amount of time. From what you've experienced, heard, read, what are some of the reasons that these businesses have failed?
Well, you know, I'm going to tell you that there's a number, and I think that the book... The E-Myth by Gerber highlights so many reasons why businesses fail. They fail to systemize. The person becomes central in their business. The fact is that a lot of people lack the skills. So what they do is they go into a business, and Gerber uses the example of a pie shop. And so, you know, the woman loves to bake pies. She's amazing. Or a man loves to bake pies. They're amazing at it. Everyone says, oh, my, these are the best pies in the world. You should open a pie shop. And, you know, they hear it for years, and suddenly they say, you know, I'm going to open a pie shop. So they open a pie shop, and what ends up happening is they end up having to become marketers. They have to, you know, be tax accountants. They have to do the books. They have to, you know, be the cleaner. They have to do ordering and stock taking. They have to, you know, hire the right staff. They have to be able to, you know, advertise and market. So all these skill sets that they actually don't have suddenly become imperative to running a good business, you know. And so a lot of businesses fail because of that, and they simply lack the skills. And that, again, is why I'm so passionate about network marketing, because, you know, we know that 78% of people want to be entrepreneurs, and we know that 83% fail in their first 5 years because they lack the skills. And that's why network marketing gives people the edge, because what they can do is they don't need those skills. Those skills are handled by a great company. So then the skills that are most important, which are the connecting skills, and again, if you learn it elegantly, the way I teach network marketing, it's got nothing to do with getting people, but that's why I'm such an advocate, because the failure rate in conventional business is so high. And then I can't tell you how many entrepreneurs who run their own business never pay themselves. They pay everyone else. They don't pay themselves. They're working 80 hours a week. I saw a quote the other day. I loved it. It made me giggle. It says, you know, the entrepreneurs spend 80 hours a week so they can avoid a 40-hour-a-week job.
What?
Right? And so, you know, they're working their asses off. They don't have time with their family. And for what? You know, so if you want the freedom of entrepreneurship, which is really what it's about, is freedom, you know, and then you want the freedom of a financial vehicle that doesn't have a cap on it, right? Then you got to really understand two things. Either you're going to systemize a business so it can run without you, which is what great entrepreneurs do, all right? Or you're going to become a slave to it, one or the other. But it has to be systemized, because if it's all around you, or let's use Jenna's example, who loved her business, which is a registered massage therapist, working with elite athletes, loved it, helping people come back from injury, right? But the truth was, she could only help one person at a time. At the end of the day, she was exhausted and her body hurt, right? Because, you know, she's not young anymore.
Oh, honey, that's so mean. You're just jealous because I'm so young and youthful. All right, so we're going to finish off with our final dedication.
All right.
Yeah? So Ellie has asked us to play a song for his girlfriend, Annie. She's so incredibly awesome, and I love her so much. This is Marvin Gaye and Tammy Terrell.
Oh, nice
and
one.
No Mountain High Enough.
All right, let's do that one.
The other day, I set you free. I told you you could always count on me, darling. From that day on, I made a vow. I'll be there when you want me, some way, somehow.
Well, you know, it's that time.
Ain't no mountain high.
She's still singing. She's still singing. You know, well, listen, it's great. Well, I'm actually, can you imagine officiating a wedding today?
MC and officiating. Whew, right. It's a big day.
It's a big day.
For beautiful Mike and Marisol.
Well, being up all night at this wonderful festival, I've got to go and rest my larynx, and I've got a lot of people to coach, so I got to get out of here.
Yes, honey. Well, so with that, we will see you next week. Same time, same place. See you.
Well, the other thing, before you say that, we should remind people that Monday, there's a new Monday morning show, right, which is the Kick in the Butt show, 10 minutes long.
Kick in the butt for 10
so
minutes.
A little Monday morning Kick in the Butt. We'll be actually broadcasting from Mexico again.
Okay.
All right. And then there's Tuesday, which is our guest. We have an amazing guest coming up. And then Thursdays, we have the solo show. And then, of course, today is Ask Dave and Jen.
Yes.
So plug in. There's lots of shows for you to plug into before Jen says these words.
Atravesiamo. See you on the other side.
That was kick-ass.